Welcome to the Narracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host.
Hey, everyone. We have a packed show today, touching on some of the most pressing intersections of AI and public life.
We're going to start by looking at a major disruption in the cybersecurity world. An anonymous GitHub account is mass-dropping undisclosed zero-day exploits, and they claim they are using advanced AI to automate the discovery process.
Then we'll pivot to physical security and privacy. We're examining the explosive growth of Flock safety cameras. They're tracking a lot more than just your license plate, and local municipalities are starting to push back.
Finally, we'll look at the healthcare sector. A new study shows a surprising number of teenagers are turning to AI chatbots for mental health advice, raising huge questions for traditional healthcare providers. Let's get right into it.
We are starting today with a situation on GitHub that is causing a lot of sleepless nights for security teams. An anonymous user, operating under the handle Bikini, has been publishing a massive cache of unpatched, undisclosed zero-day exploits. The repository is aptly named Exploitarium. It was just created on June 23, 2026, and it has already exploded in visibility. As of June 28th, it's racked up over 1,900 stars and hundreds of forks. But what's really making waves isn't just the sheer volume of zero days being dropped, it's how they are allegedly being discovered.
Right. The maintainer explicitly claims they are using a highly advanced AI model, specifically GPT-5.5.3-Codex-Spark, to heavily automate their fuzzing workflows. For our listeners who might not be in the security weeds, fuzzing is essentially the process of automatically throwing massive amounts of malformed or random data at a piece of software to see where it breaks, crashes, or leaks memory.
Historically, setting up effective fuzzing harnesses took a lot of manual engineering effort. But this user claims the AI is handling the heavy lifting of identifying these flaws, and even generating the README documentation. The maintainer says they are only hand-typing the actual proof-of-concept exploit code once the AI flags the vulnerability.
And the disclosure method here is completely uncoordinated. The standard, responsible practice in cybersecurity is to notify the software vendor privately. You give them 30, 60, or 90 days to issue a patch before you make the vulnerability public. But this user is bypassing that entirely. They are dumping the exploits directly onto the public internet.
They actually state right in the repository, at the time I post these, none have been reported. They are actively encouraging other users to take the exploit, verify it, and report the vulnerabilities themselves to claim the CVE credit, a CVE being the official Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures Tracking Number.
It is essentially crowdsourcing the vulnerability disclosure process. But by doing it this way, they are providing potential attackers with ready-to-use exploit material before defenders have any chance to patch their systems. It forces software vendors into an immediate, chaotic, and reactive posture.
There is a very intense debate right now in the security research community about the credibility of this maintainer's claims. Is GPT-5.5.3-Codex-Spark really making zero-day discovery this trivial? Or is this maintainer actually a highly skilled researcher who is using the AI angle as a convenient narrative shield to avoid attribution?
If the AI claim is true, it represents a massive paradigm shift. If automated tools can find zero days faster than vendors can patch known issues, the traditional defense and depth strategies are going to be severely tested.
It also puts platforms like GitHub in a terrible position. GitHub wants to be the premier hub for open source collaboration and legitimate security research, but hosting weaponized, unpatched exploit code crosses a red line for many in the industry. If AI-assisted fuzzing continues to lower the barrier to entry, this kind of uncoordinated mass dump could become a daily occurrence. We'll have to see if Microsoft, who owns GitHub, decides to intervene and take the repository down.
Moving from digital security to physical surveillance, we need to talk about the explosive expansion of Flock safety cameras. Recent numbers show there are currently between 80,000 and 100,000 of these cameras installed across the United States.
And they are deployed in both public and private spaces.
The critical thing to understand here is that these are no longer just basic automatic license plate readers, or ALPRs, which have been around for decades. Flock cameras use advanced machine learning to catalog what they call a vehicle signature.
That means they are logging the make, the model, the color, and the license plate, sure. But the AI is also identifying and cataloging unique features, things like bumper stickers, roof racks, aftermarket wheels, or even specific scratches or dents on the paint.
All of that highly specific data is then uploaded to a searchable nationwide database. This network isn't just utilized by traditional law enforcement agencies. These cameras are increasingly being purchased by private entities, homeowners associations, strip malls, corporate campuses, who then often choose to share that feed directly with local police departments.
The proponents of the system, including Flock Safety themselves, argue this is a highly effective, objective tool for solving crimes. They point to success stories in tracking stolen vehicles or locating suspects fleeing a crime scene. But the sheer scale of the surveillance is drawing serious pushback from civil liberties groups.
Privacy advocates point out that this effectively creates a warrantless mass tracking system of citizens' movements. When you stitch together 100,000 cameras, you can map out a person's daily routine, where they work, where they go to church, what doctors they visit, without ever needing a judge to sign off on a warrant.
And the company is expanding its hardware footprint. They now offer AI-powered security cameras, mobile security trailers, and even drones. Critics argue that as the computer vision technology improves, it's inevitably moving beyond just tracking vehicles to potentially tracking pedestrians and individuals in public spaces.
We are actually starting to see some tangible local pushback against this overarching smart city surveillance model. Just recently, in June 2026, the Columbia Heights City Council voted to terminate its contract with Flock Safety entirely. They ordered the removal of the camera equipment from their city limits.
The council specifically cited community concerns over privacy, the lack of transparency regarding data retention, and how the data was being shared. It's a significant data pool, and when private neighborhoods feed into a national law enforcement database, the expectation of privacy in public spaces shifts dramatically. Because there is currently no sweeping federal regulation regarding how long this data can be retained or exactly who can access it, we are largely relying on local municipalities, like Columbia Heights, to set the boundaries themselves.
Our final deep dive today touches on a profound shift in healthcare access, specifically regarding adolescence and mental health. A new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics, JAMA Pediatrics, has highlighted a growing trend.
The study found that approximately 1 in 5 adolescents is now using AI chatbots for mental health advice. And crucially, the data shows they are often doing this entirely under the radar, without informing their parents or their human therapists.
It highlights a massive structural shift in how young people seek support. Jaron Dobie, a therapist at Novant Health, weighed in on this. He noted that from a teenager's perspective, an AI chatbot offers something traditional therapy often can't: 24/7 immediate accessibility and a space that feels entirely non-judgmental. If a teenager is in crisis at 2 a.m., the AI is there to respond instantly.
But Dobie also warned about the severe inherent limitations of these models. AI lacks the ability to truly understand human suffering. It can't parse complex family dynamics, and it certainly doesn't understand underlying trauma. There is a very real danger when a teenager in a severe mental health crisis relies on a large language model rather than professional human intervention.
And this AI integration isn't just happening on the patient side. Healthcare providers themselves are rapidly adopting generative AI. Health systems across North Carolina, for instance, are currently early adopters of ambient documentation tools.
These are AI systems that essentially sit in on patient visits, listen to the conversation, and automatically generate clinical notes for the electronic health record. The efficiency gains there are undeniable. It's being touted as a major solution to severe provider burnout by drastically reducing administrative paperwork.
But experts are raising serious red flags about algorithmic bias in these clinical settings. We know that language models can perpetuate systemic biases. And if these ambient tools underperform for patients of color, perhaps misinterpreting dialects or cultural context,
it could negatively impact patient trajectories and the quality of care they receive.
There's also the overarching risk of over-reliance. If a physician becomes too dependent on the AI's automated notes or its diagnostic suggestions, they might start skimming over the details. They might miss subtle nuances that require human clinical judgment. We are essentially building an invisible layer of AI guidance into the healthcare system right now.
And the reality is, we simply don't yet have long-term data on how this affects actual patient outcomes. As states begin to look at regulating AI in medicine, they are going to have to thread a very difficult needle. They have to balance the immediate 24/7 accessibility and efficiency these tools offer against the critical need for professional oversight and the risk of automating existing healthcare disparities.
All right, that covers our main stories for today, but there's a lot more happening across the industry. Let's hit a few more updates real quick before we wrap up.
We've got news on European privacy legislation, massive growth in the commercial battery market, and a uniquely boring podcast.
In European tech policy, EU Parliament President Roberta Metsola has controversially proposed reviving Chat Control 1.0. This was a regulation that allowed the voluntary scanning of private messages by tech companies to detect child sexual abuse material.
The catch is that Chat Control 1.0 actually expired on April 3, 2026, after the European Parliament explicitly voted against extending it. Former MEP Patrick Breyer has heavily criticized this revival attempt as a blatant disregard for democratic processes. This is all happening as a critical trilogue negotiation for the much broader Chat Control 2.0 proposal is scheduled for June 29th, which critics argue could effectively mandate the breaking of end-to-end encryption across Europe.
Looking at aerospace hardware, a new Indexbox report projects that the global aircraft battery market will reach between $3.2 billion and $3.8 billion by the year 2035. For context, the market was valued at under $2 billion in 2025. This rapid growth is being driven by the industry's shift toward more electric aircraft architectures and the rise of eVTOL vehicles. We are seeing lithium-ion chemistries increasingly preferred over traditional nickel-cadmium and lead-acid batteries due to their higher energy density, with key players like Saft and GS Yuasa leading the transition. Sticking with battery trends, the electric commercial vehicle battery market is seeing absolutely massive growth. Global electric truck battery demand more than doubled in 2025, and electric trucks now account for about 8% of total global EV battery deployment.
The broader electric commercial vehicle market is projected to skyrocket from an estimated $108 billion in 2026 to approximately $498 billion by 2035. As logistics and public transport fleets shift toward electrification, the demand for high-capacity, durable battery packs is surging, particularly in markets like China and Europe.
Over on GitHub, developers are continuing to push the boundaries of Anthropic's Open Source Model Context Protocol, or MCP. A new feature request in the Claude Code repository is asking for an MCP integration from Mexum.
Mexum is a Cyprus-based broker that operates as an introducing broker for interactive brokers, utilizing IBKR's infrastructure. The user wants Claude Code to be able to securely connect to Mexum's platform to retrieve account data or perform financial tasks directly. It's a great example of the growing trend of developers trying to automate workflows by hooking AI agents directly into specialized professional tools.
And finally, Marfa Public Radio, a nonprofit station in West Texas, has launched a podcast specifically designed to put you to sleep by reading incredibly boring institutional documents. Producers Zoe Kurland and Christopher Dyer have station staff reading things like FCC compliance manuals, NPR style guides, and the 1967 Public Broadcasting Act. It originated as a humorous project for their 2023 fall membership drive, but it's proven to be a surprisingly popular take on the sleep aid genre, humanizing the dry administrative realities of running a 24/7 radio station.
I have to admit, an FCC compliance manual sounds like a highly effective sleep aid. That is all the time we have for today's briefing.
Thanks for listening.
If you want to dive deeper into any of the research briefs or reports we covered today, you can find all the links in the show notes.
We'll be back tomorrow with more deep dives and updates from across the tech landscape. Until then, I'm Host A.
And I'm Host B. Take care, everyone.